Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Today we celebrate and rejoice with seven of our youth here at Our Savior, who are being confirmed this morning, and more than that, will receive the Lord's Supper for the very first time this morning. While there are many traditions regarding the rite of confirmation and First Communion in the Lutheran Church, really is little consensus throughout the centuries, it is very appropriate that we should celebrate this occasion today, Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. We hear the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the Holy Evangelist, St. Matthew. Because there is a very clear connection between the sacrament of the altar and the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was instituted on the night when he was betrayed. He specifically states, "This is my body given. This is my blood shed." The purpose of the giving and the shedding, they are for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. In the small catechism, especially in that oft ignored or neglected section titled Christian Questions with Their Answers, the question is asked and answered, what should we do when we eat Christ's body and blood, drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge? And the answer is, we should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood as he has taught us. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That is, when we gather around the Lord's table, when we receive Holy Communion, Sacrament of the Altar, or the Lord's Supper, whatever you wish to call it, we are participating in an act that is a matter both of personal faith, remembering his death, and a matter of public confession, proclaiming his death. Why we have both a period of instruction prior to receiving the Lord's Supper, and why we practice closed communion. Scripture is clear. We do not wish to be unworthy recipients of this sacrament, eating the bread and drinking the wine without discerning the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in, with, and under that bread and wine. To do so is to eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. Therefore, we are to remember the Lord Jesus according to his very command. Do this in remembrance of me, believing in his word, trusting in what he has said, receiving exactly that which he has said, and for the purpose for which he gave it. And yet, when we receive the sacrament, it is not simply a me and Jesus alone moment. There's a public confession that takes place. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, we who eat the one bread are one body. Likewise, we who drink of the cup are one. There's a public confession of faith that takes place when we kneel together at this altar, when we receive together the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we take it seriously. We wish to remember and proclaim the Lord's death. Why we instruct our young and old before receiving it? We simply just do not admit everyone who comes, but rather ensure that they share this confession with us. But it's not simply a matter of remembering and proclaiming. There's a reason why. And so that section, Christian Questions and Their Answers, goes on. Why should we do this? Why should we remember the Lord's death? Why should we proclaim the Lord's death? There are three reasons which we do well to consider today. Not just because we have seven young people receiving this sacrament for the first time. It is good that they be reminded as to why they should remember and proclaim the Lord's death when they receive the sacrament today. But also for all of us who are going to receive the sacrament, it is good for us to be refreshed and renewed in the knowledge of why we remember and proclaim the Lord's death when we eat his body and drink his blood. So the first reason We remember and proclaim the Lord's death when we receive the sacrament, so we may learn that no creature could make satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ could do that. That is, only Christ could save you. Paul writes in the book of Galatians, if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If you could make up for your sins by your good works, if you could do enough to offset the balance, then God could have spared his son. There was no reason why he had to send his son, his only son, his beloved son, into this world to suffer and die on the cross. If you could make yourself worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven by your efforts or intentions, by your good deeds, then Christ Jesus did not need to leave his heavenly throne in order to open the kingdom of heaven to you. Yes, to put it bluntly, if you could save yourself, then Jesus didn't have to die. But because Jesus died, because, as we heard, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, we must know that this was really the only way that we could be saved and have eternal life. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again and again, the scriptures testify that Christ Jesus died for the ungodly in order that the ungodly might be made righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled to God by the death of his son. It's only the son who could do this. For only the holy, precious blood of the son of God, Jesus Christ, powerful, pure, holy, and meritorious enough to pay for every single sin that you have, the sins of those neighbors sitting next to you in the pews, and the sins of those people outside of these church walls this morning, many of whom have no idea what their Creator did for them, and the sins of all the people who have ever lived on this planet, beginning with Adam and Eve all the way to that very last child conceived before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every sin paid by Jesus. Every soul loved by Jesus. Second thing we are to learn as we remember and proclaim the Lord's death is that we are to learn to be horrified by our sins and regard them as very serious. Our sins ought to terrify us. We ought to be deeply troubled by the weight of our sins. We should not shrug our shoulders at our sins. We should not wink at them. We should not excuse them. The fact that our salvation required the very death of the Son of God should lead us to see just how terrible sin really is. Every sin, sins against the first table of the law, against God, neglecting him, neglecting his name, misusing his name, neglecting his worship, dismissing his worship, sins against the second table, dishonoring our authorities, hurting or harming our neighbor, even in our thoughts and words, lusting after those people whom God has not given us, stealing, being greedy, caring only for our own enrichment while neglecting the needs of others, using our words to tear down and hurt and harm our neighbor rather than to build up, coveting those things and those people and those relationships that have not been given to us, sins we've committed, good works we've neglected, sins of the mind, sins of the tongue, sins of the body. All of these testify to the fact that we deserve nothing but death and everlasting condemnation. The great Good Friday hymn puts it, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, ye who think of sin but lightly, nor think the evil great, here may view its danger rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Look at the cross and see Jesus becoming a curse for you. How severe the curse really is. Recall that he was wounded for your transgressions. See how deep those transgressions are. Yes, if Jesus, the Son of God, your Creator, had to become man, shed his blood, suffer, be mocked, be beaten, be put to death. How terrible your sins must be. But also, how great his love must be. Again, this oft-neglected section of the Catechism, which we do well to review, we are reminded that our Lord Jesus did this because of his great love, not just for his Father, but for you. And therefore, thirdly, as we remember and proclaim the Lord's death, we find joy and comfort in Christ alone. Through faith in him, we are saved. He gladly suffered for you. He willingly bore your sins. Out of his boundless love, he became man so that you might live with him forever. Our Lord Jesus did not simply love humanity in general, love the world in general. He loved and loves every single one of you personally, specifically. He loves you. Again, only Christ could do this. To love you, to have you in mind as he bore all your sins, bearing them in love. Therefore, you have been redeemed by the death of Jesus Christ. He who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. The assurance of this be found in your baptism. For Christ, who died for the sins of the world, winning salvation for everyone, now again personally, specifically, distributes that gift of forgiveness in the means of grace, in holy baptism. That is, forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation granted to you who believe. These gifts are going to be acknowledged by our young people in just a few moments, the rite of confirmation. Again, we do well to acknowledge them also, that in the gift of baptism, we have received all that our Lord Jesus Christ won for us on the cross. It is the beginning of new life, a life lived by faith in the Son of God, the crucified Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. We remember and proclaim the Lord's death, the eating and drinking of the sacrament of the altar. Do so with joy, comfort, assurance. The Lord Jesus loved us, gave himself for us. Again, our Lord's Supper is being offered to 7 of our young people for the first time. For many of you, likely lost count how many times you've received the Lord's Supper. But whether this is the first time or simply the next time that you have received the Lord's Supper, do so as our Lord Jesus says, in remembrance of him, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, knowing that he and he alone could save you. It had to be him alone because your sins are very great, and yet his love for you is even greater. We have joy and comfort in him. One last reference to this section, Christian questions and their answers. The examinations of our catechumens proceeded this day. They were also asked and answered these two questions, which we also do well to remember. Do you hope to be saved? The answer is yes. Then in whom do you trust? The answer is in my dear Lord Jesus Christ. We gather to celebrate with our youth. We begin this Holy Week. Let us remember that the death of Jesus is for us a constant source of joy, thanksgiving, confidence. Because he died, we shall not perish eternally. Because he was forsaken by his Father on the cross, we need never fear that we will be abandoned by our God. Because the Son of God, Jesus, was crucified for you, you sinners live now as beloved children of God, eternally so, through faith in him who loved you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.